Taking a break from the financial crisis to a different crisis, the one that actually people thought would dominate of this campaign was the war and terror. And it is fascinating how the mind, it appears like I don't believe that this is true, but it appears, at least from the media, that the American people cannot chew gum and walk at the same time. It's either economics or the war on terror. It seems to me that if you have two crises, you talk about two crises. I don't think that that is, what shall we say, rocket science. Folks, if we are going to make progress in the war against radical Islam, the people who will be able to make that progress most will be Muslims themselves. I've always said this. What I have lamented was the lack of allies, at least in public, to do this. There are a few. Perhaps the leading one in America is Dr. Zudi Jasser. He is chairman of the board and founding member of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. He's located in Phoenix. I met Dr. Jasser on Sunday when we watched the film in which he stars, as it were, The Third Jihad. And Dr. Jasser is a believing Muslim, and that's a very important factor here, who would like to see a reformation take place within the Islamic world and in parts of Islamic theology. Do I have you correctly, Dr. Jasser?
You do, Dennis. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. And I can't tell you enough, as you said, you know, as we focus on the economy, everybody forgets, I think, that our Homeland Security has averted over 30 attacks since 9/11. And all it's going to take is one to have an impact on our economy even greater than every other economic crisis.
That's exactly right. But the media don't like to focus on that. And as I've often noted, 22 Democratic presidential debates and not one mention, not one candidate in 22 debates mentioned Islamic terrorists by name.
And you said it so well Sunday, which is that the only way to defeat bad faith is through good faith. And that's really why I take time out of my medical practice. We formed this organization, take time out of family, because if Muslims that are orthodox, that believe in their faith and have a strong relationship with God, don't come forth and say that the political agenda of Islamists that want to... And you know, it's funny, that we talk about terrorism as if it's something we're fighting when that's simply a tactic. There is an ideology out there that we're fighting. And this documentary, The Third Jihad, really starts to look at that, it'd be like if you said in World War II we were fighting Blitzkrieg. We were fighting Nazism, fascism. And political Islam has its violent and nonviolent permutations. And at the end of the day, as long as you believe in the agenda of the Islamic State, you're going to end up contributing to the fuel that ends up stimulating the radicals.
Let me explain that to my listeners, because that's your key point, and it is a one that I have said over and over, and I'm not always sure that it is clearly heard. The issue, folks, is not only does one believe in violence for religious reasons. That's certainly an issue. But there is a much larger ideological problem that Dr. Jasser, a believing Muslim, identifies, and one that I have spoken of from the beginning as well, which is why I often say Islamic totalitarianism is the problem. And that is the problem of a religious law, namely Sharia-based state. As long as that remains the ideal, Dr. Jasser is saying, there can be no moral progress. There has to be, in the final analysis, a Sharia-based, if I have you correctly, a Muslim should lead a Sharia-based life, but society, like in America, where Christians lead Christian-based lives, Jews, Judaism-based lives, but the government may take those values, but not those laws.
And you can't emphasize that point enough, because what enables the terrorists and the nonviolent Islamists is that they think they're enacting God's law on earth. And what I tell them is, unless they somehow are truly communicating with God daily, they still, basically, Sharia is still human. So what our forefathers and what made my parents come here from Syria to escape persecution and the despotism of that government is they knew that when they came here, their relationship with God was immediately going to be free and personal, and that actually, as a believing Muslim, there is nothing that makes you more free to choose your faith than knowing that religious law and theocracy and theology is something you choose personally, and it's not being forced down you. And the Islamists will say that, well, we don't, you know, Islam is not by coercion and it's by freedom, but Sharia law has to be based in a constitution that's based out of the Quran. And I'll tell them, well, that's no longer religion. That becomes government. And the West has proven
And by definition, coercive.
Exactly.
And I mean, you know, if you don't wear the clothing that we feel is mandated by Sharia, then we will whip you or arrest you or whatever.
And to me, well, my mother taught me that fasting, when I fast in a society like America, I just finished Ramadan, that fast is much more rewarded from God personally when you're tested, when you're challenged, than one in which you live in a sanitized society. So Orthodox Muslim men and women who want to dress conservatively or choose to do so, I believe it's much more Islamically pure to do so in a society where people are free to choose how they want to dress.
Yeah, I understand that. 1-8-PRAGER-776. There are two things I want to promote here because I don't want us to get our eye off the ball here with our preoccupation with the economic crisis. One, a blown-up mall, folks, and our attention will be very, very fixed on this problem. Remember, over 30 terror plots have been interdicted by the Bush administration, for which, needless to say, it gets no credit, but that's a separate subject in the political realm. Two things. One, this film, The Third Jihad, which has just come out, in which you will see Dr. Jasser, who he didn't make the film, but he's the hero of the film. You don't have to comment on that because I don't want to embarrass you. And the other thing that I want to promote is his American Islamic Forum for Democracy. And do you is that up as well? They're both up at PragerRadio.com at where it says blog, PragerRadio.com blog. You had a conference, correct? You organized a conference against Islamic terror, correct?
Yes, in April 2004. It was our first major function. We had a rally at Patriot Square in Phoenix in which we called upon the Muslim communities here to make a statement. We called it Standing with Muslims Against Terror. And it's actually now featured as part of the 9/11 memorial here in Arizona.
Well, I want you to tell my listeners what happened, how the mosques reacted, how CARE reacted to this simple message that you wanted to convey and honor your religion, by the way. You are listening to the Dennis Prager Show, 1-8-PRAGER-776. Prager it is. Hi, everybody. I'm speaking to a hero. I don't use that word often. And that is Dr. Zudi Jasser, J-A-S-S-E-R, medical doctor in Phoenix, Arizona, who has founded the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. He is a believing Muslim and wants the notion of aspiring to a Sharia-based state to be removed from within the theology and to stay a believing Muslim at the same time. As it were, a reformation within Islam. I think it's the only answer to the problem of radical Islam. And not that all other Muslims are radicals. That's not my point. I say this is the answer in the long run, aside from battling terrorism now, obviously. Is that a fair summary?
Yes, sir. I think And you just can't underline enough how much, you know, there's these people that present themselves as imams and clerics, when in fact I grew up being told by my parents that most of these people are actually politicians. They are not about spirituality.
What happened to your rally against terror?
Well, a group of us in 2003 said, you know what, there's a lot of people speaking on behalf of the Muslim community that are apologists, and we want to stand up and make a clear statement to the American population that we unequivocally stand against the targeting of innocents and any organization by name that utilizes terror, not just by concept, but by name. And we formed a group and called it Standing with Muslims Against Terror. We invited the Imam Council here in Phoenix that included 9 imams of mosques, and one by one they fell off and refused to endorse it. Why? Because they first said they wanted us to remove the name Muslim from the name of the rally. They wanted to be able to talk about terrorism as they felt committed by the U.S. and Israel and other things that they wanted to obfuscate their own responsibility, blame others, remove a true moral responsibility, which is say that we as a Muslim community have a responsibility to clean up our own, but rather they continue this Machiavellian despotic way of just deferring responsibility and saying we condemn terrorism, but, and that but at the end of the sentence is to me endemic corruption. It's somebody not willing to take a personal courage and stand to say that we condemn terrorism with no ifs, ands, or buts. They wanted their speeches without review, and we said, you know what, you can't do that. We're going to go up and tell America that we condemn terrorism.
A point made in the film you're in, again, it's The Third Jihad, and information about it is at PragerRadio.com, as well as Dr. Jasser's organization, which I hope you all support, and I hope that you tell Muslim friends about. The point here is that when these so-called Islamic organizations like CARE are asked about terror, they all say, oh, we condemn terror, not in our name. They had a whole ad campaign, not in our name. It was very effective looking anyway. But if you then ask them, okay, so will you condemn Hezbollah? No. Will you condemn Hamas? No. That's like saying, folks, and it really is like saying, and this is one time where the parallel would be okay. Well, we're against gas chambers, but we won't condemn the Nazis. It's identical. If you don't condemn the perpetrators, then the condemning the act is meaningless. Now, who runs CARE? What distinguishes you from CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations?
I think what distinguishes us is our agenda. My agenda is one based in American constitutional law, where we believe in a government that is based on an establishment clause that separates religion and government. CARE, if you look at, don't only look at what they say, but what they don't say. They've never talked about the agenda of the Muslim Brotherhood. I think they need to be pushed on that. This week, again, in the Holy Land Foundation trial, there's a lot of evidence pointing to a Philadelphia meeting where an agent has spoken clearly in court just last week about a meeting that included Nihad Awad and Omar Ahmed of CARE, where they talked about an insidious establishment of different organizations in America that would be part of the Muslim Brotherhood Network. And I think that's important because it exemplifies how the agenda of creating Islamic states, of putting forth a Sharia-based politic, body politic, in the Islamic community and collectivizing our community as if we all somehow agree with that agenda is really what they're all about.
All right. Let's leave it at that. Dr. Jasser, I will be in touch with you regularly. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much. Again, the information is up at PragerRadio.com at the blog. Senator John Kyle of Arizona on the bailout when we come back.